Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services. Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today, who has brought two tremendous guests, is Ann Hirsch. And we're going to go right back to Dr. Brennan. But before we do, I'm going to give out a phone number. And anybody who doesn't have a pen with them, you call 311, so the number's going to be a 311 if you'd like to get in touch with Dr. Brennan. And the number I'm giving you is 866 S-E-E-O-C-L-I. You do it with letters, which makes me crazy. But that's okay, doctor. 866-C-Ockley. But S-E-E-O-C-L-I. And the doctor is in Huntington, in Manhasset, and in Plainview on different days. But you call, that's why you call this main number. You give me your location, and sure. You can take it from there. Because this is something that it's not preventable, but caught properly, we could do something at least.
Correct.
And, that, and you know, the one thing that he has said, which I think is so significant, is nowadays, and especially for seniors, they have Medicare, they have various forms of insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, you go because you have a pain in your chest constantly. I mean, that kind of stuff. But, you know, or your hips. But if you can see, most people don't go to the doctor.
Right.
It's just like, well, you should go. What's, you know, make it once a year, as you're saying, because if there is something coming, you might get a little precursor to it and therefore say, wait, you should start on this. Right. You know, it's terrible to go to a doctor when it's full-blown, and all they're going to do is say, we can maintain you, but you're not seeing any better for the rest of your life.
A lot of eye diseases are like that. Glaucoma, diabetes, macular degeneration, a lot of them just creep up on you slowly.
Right.
And then by the time you're having a vision problem, it's sometimes too late.
If you have this in a family history, are you more susceptible of possibly getting this?
Family history is important. The genetics specifically of macular degeneration, they're still not very well understood. So you can't get a blood test to say, okay, well, my risk is going to be such and such. But it's definitely a good idea, especially if you've got family with it, to get checked out, maybe even a little earlier than 50.
Now, you mentioned injections.
Yes.
I wonder if you could just give us an overview of the therapies that are available if you have this and what the outcome and prognosis is if you go through this process.
Sure. Very important medications came out in studies in about 2005. The first medication that retina specialists were using is called Avastin. Now, that was actually a colon cancer medication that was found when injected in the eye stopped the growth of blood vessels. And remember when I said macular degeneration is a bleeding and a fluid problem? Well, it's because it's coming from abnormal blood vessels growing in the retina. And we found that using even a tiny dose of this Avastin medication, we could stop those blood vessels from growing, get them to shrivel up and go away, and then stop the bleeding and bring some of the vision back. After Avastin, other medications came out like Lucentis and Eylea. Now, they were specifically designed to be used inside the eye. In macular degeneration, all three of those medications work very, very well. And you asked about prognosis. Well, what we found with doing regular injection treatments, 90% of the time we could stop the vision loss from wet macular degeneration, and 40% of the time actually recover it. So very good odds.
Wow.
If we catch it early, especially to keep you where you are, and if it's already advancing, pretty good odds of bringing some vision back as well.
Does the injection hurt?
It doesn't hurt. Nobody ever runs out of my office screaming, I promise you.
So we don't have to be afraid of doing anything of that nature. It isn't a painful kind.
It's not a painful procedure. It's not a painful procedure. I spend a lot of time explaining the procedure when I come
in. I'd have
in.
To be put out cold.
No.
And I hear these people have these cataract surgery, and I'm like, you were awake for it?
Absolutely.
It's like, how could you do it? It's like,
absolutely.
You know.
A lot of it's the anticipation. You know, leading up to it, you don't know quite what to expect. But a lot of times when I do the injection, my patients ask me, have you done it yet?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that an ongoing thing, the injection, or is it like a one-shot, or every week you need a renewal type of?
We never do the injections more frequently than once monthly.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Sometimes when you're starting out, you can get them quite frequently. So every month is sometimes necessary. But what I like to try to do is do as few injections as possible. So you'll come back for the exam. I'll see how the macular degeneration is doing. We'll decide on that visit if you need a shot or not, or if we can stretch out the distance, the time interval between the injections.
Now, besides the injections, is there any alternatives to this or any other way of handling it medically for whatever the reason, whether maybe injections is not something you want to do or maybe you've done this? Is there anything else that we should be just aware of?
Sure. Not all patients elect to have treatment, and that's okay. If you come in for close monitoring and you decide you don't want to get the treatments, I'm fine with that too. I'm there for you to monitor and see how things are progressing. Your opinion may change if you feel like your vision's worsening or something like that, and you may decide, okay, now is the time to start injections. Oftentimes there can be very, very slow growing, essentially. It's not really a growth, but slowly advancing disease processes that we can safely monitor together.
These injections, I might have missed it, are for dry or wet?
No, they're only for wet.
Only for wet.
Dry,
okay.
We actually don't have any treatments right now.
Oh, so wet is not curable, but containable.
Correct.
And maybe a little bit improvable.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. As far as alternatives, the laser treatments I mentioned, those could be alternatives, but I tend to steer patients away from them because they're not anywhere near as effective as the injection treatments.
Are there any oral medications other than these vitamins and so on, which is not really medication?
I wish. No drops, no pills that would actually treat wet macular degeneration. The vitamins are just for prevention.
Okay.
Is there anything out there in research, not necessarily only related to what we're discussing, but for people who have lost vision, such as myself? Mm-hmm. I am meningioma tumor in the optic nerve.
Right, right.
Is there any hope for any of us to ever get any form of vision back?
So what we're looking at now is gene therapy and stem cells. So those are two areas that I believe are going to be big going forward in ophthalmology. We've actually had the first FDA-approved gene therapy medication out for a very rare disease. And these are patients with terrible, terrible vision where they can only see light and dark. And there has been some success in restoring some of their vision. So that's with gene therapy. Stem cells, that's still being researched, but I think especially for dry macular degeneration patients, nothing yet in practice, but going forward, that may be a way to restore some vision by injecting stem cells underneath or into the retina. And that would be an operating room procedure, not something that we would do in the office.
Not to put too much stress on you, but what are how far into the future must we go? Will we see it in this generation right now, or are you talking about generations to come?
Let's get right to the point.
Right.
Do you have anything for
right Ian? Now? Right now, I want it. I want my vision back.
I don't have anything right now. But the rate of progress in medicine in all fields has just been exponentially accelerating. So hopefully within this generation, can't make any promises, but things are looking good.
No, I think that's the one thing that it really is amazing, the word is not proliferation, but whatever it is, of medical aids that are coming in, like in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm,
that stuff that, you know, you would have died, you would have been blind, you would have been deaf, etc. just getting better and quicker, and even they exponentially are just getting better and better. It's amazing.
Right.
So from a doctor's perspective, and this is probably a terrible thing to say, it does behoove a patient to look for a doctor who's in the middle of that. You know, you can have a doctor who, I could be the greatest guy in the world, but if I'm not playing in the field where everybody is working on new things, I'll help you as best I can, but I don't have the skill set. And there's nothing wrong with that. Or you have two doctors and have second opinions, because it's very important today that, you know, places, you know, Northwell and what is it, Memorial Sloan Kettering, and this is, they have so much money involved that they're working constantly. And that's important to be part of that.
And I think, and I'm only going to speak from my own personal experience, you need to be in a practice that is large enough to have the various specialists within the field, so that, let's say, you have a doctor and he can refer over to another doctor within the practice, and then they communicate with one another. It just enriches the experience, and you have people communicating with each other on what you have. That kind of approach, I think, is invaluable.
I agree. It's really great at OCLI. It's like we're our own department of ophthalmology. We have all the specialties. We communicate with each other. We share patients. So not only can I ask the neuro-ophthalmologist or the glaucoma specialist,
right,
but I have other retina specialists that I work with, too, that we can bounce opinions off each other. So it's a great environment to be in.
Because I'm sure, you know, Dr. Brennan here is very knowledgeable, all of us, but you miss something. And you sit down with two of your colleagues and say, this is going on, I'm confused. Peter, did you try this? Ah, I didn't think of that. And you all, at the same time, be able to help one of your guys and say, hey, I just had one a month ago. This is what I found. Mm-hmm. Try half a dose. And, I mean, it's not experimental. It's helpful.
Right.
You know.
If you have macular degeneration, will eyeglasses do anything for you?
It won't. It won't, because it's not a problem with the lens of the camera. Remember, the eyeglasses, the front of the eye, cataract, that's all like the lens of the camera. And then the retina is the film in the camera. So you can have a perfectly focused eyeglass with a bad retina.
The film is working.
You're not going to see well.
It's difficult for people to have it. There's no question about it. And the way you explained it with the dark spot, that, you know, I can see Christina and I can see Aaron, but I really can't see you.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, you know, for people, it's got to be frustrating. That's all there is to it.
Right.
Did you have an incidence rate of how many people get this? Is it a large amount of the population?
It's 15 million in the U.S.
per year.
Well, in general, right.
That's amazing.
That's the prevalence.
You know, terrific. I'm sorry, we're out of time, but this really was a wonderful, wonderful interview. I really appreciate this. We've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 and WCWP.org, listening with Dr. Brennan from OCLI, which is the ophthalmic consultants of Long Island. I'll get it out. OCLI. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.